Hi, you're listening to People Are Strange, a podcast starring me, Andy,
and me, JK. Please be advised, this show contains strong language and explicit descriptions of adult situations.
People Are Strange is not intended to promote the use of drugs or a life in the arts.
If you do decide to experiment, please do so from an informed and responsible place.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Because after all, people are strange.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so we have another exciting new thing today. It's our second time doing this. We have a guest in the studio. It's Edmund. What's your last name?
Kofi.
Edmund Kofi. Sweet.
I could have said that.
I didn't know. So you guys know each other better than I know, Ed. You guys went to college together.
Correct? Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Excellent. So, Ed, what's your like principal type of art that you do? Are you mainly an actor? What are you?
Well, I was, but now I suppose you call me a filmmaker.
Okay, right. Yeah. So sweet. So most of what we've talked about on this show has been like improv and live acting.
Right.
So what was that transition like, going from like stage to film? When did you first do that? When was the first time you were in a film?
Well, the first official time, I suppose, would be a film I did with a fellow Towson student. That was the first time that I actually realized that I could actually do something in film, you know?
Right.
Did you have an interest in film before that, or?
I did.
Okay.
I did. You know, back in my country, I'd sort of watch all the old Hollywood films, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'd always... They always made an impression on me.
Yeah.
So I was always like... Yeah, you know, this would be cool to do, but, you know.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from West Africa.
Okay.
I was awesome. Born in Nigeria. I was raised in Ghana. I came here October 7th, 2001.
Cool. Oh, wow. So not that long.
Yeah.
Jeez. I had no idea. Yeah,
so cool. How old were you? What?
I was 14.
Okay. So you were in high school?
I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Strangest time of my life.
Excellent.
Oh, man, I can only imagine.
So when did you start doing... You did theater before you did film, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When did you start doing theater?
I did a show in high school.
All right.
It was a musical called...
In the United States?
Yeah, in the United States.
Crazy for You?
Did you ever do anything when you were in Africa?
Yeah, I my first part was in a church play. I played Jesus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I knew. I was hooked.
You had something special there. Yeah,
yeah. You know, I'd walk around, like, you know, church, and everybody would be like, hey, it's Jesus!
Yeah.
So you then came to the United States and were able to translate that into a school production, or...?
Yeah. I just always knew that I wanted to, you know, perform.
Uh-huh.
And the first chance I had to do it, I was like, yeah, I just have to do it, you know?
Nice.
Did you have a lead role in the first, in that high school show you were in, the Crazy for You?
No, it was a supporting role.
Okay.
I mean, but didn't you hear he was Jesus, Andy?
Oh, well,
I mean,
obviously.
That's a pretty lead role.
That's the biggest lead role ever,
right?
But no, so okay, cool. So, because some people, you know, they like end up in high school and it's like their first play, and somehow they're just like perfect for the lead role, and they, you know, end up like just getting thrust into that.
I think Andy's talking about me, maybe.
Yeah, I am talking about you specifically. What was the first thing you did?
Like I was Demetrius.
Demetrius.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
No way.
One of the lovers, yeah. And I had no idea what I was doing for the audition. I was like, go, like, kind of approach this girl. Uh-huh. And she was like, I've never had someone hit on me but be so afraid to touch me. And so, yeah, I didn't quite know the rules of acting and all that good
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
At that point,
I still don't know the rules.
Yeah. Well, that, you know,
there are no rules,
yeah,
man.
There are rules. That's true.
Anyway, so then, so did you know that you wanted to pursue that in college? Because you didn't start out where we went to school together originally.
Right. I mean, I always knew, but it wasn't something that was sort of, it wasn't something that in my household was encouraged, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it just took a lot of sort of back and forth, and I think when I got to Towson, I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. These are the people that I want to do it with, you know?
Yeah.
It just like clicked.
Nice.
When was your like moment when you knew you wanted to?
Oh, I don't know.
You remember?
Tables have turned.
I'm
interested.
I think it started out for me as like being addicted to like getting in front of people and like kind of the fame thing, you know? And then, but then, and I was sort of definitely a loser when I first got into, but in the eyes of the common in middle school. When I was 12 years old, I was a huge loser. And I was Oliver in Oliver, and my whole class had to come see it. And it was the first time where I was like, I'm doing something that, like, at least some of them think is kind of cool, you know? Then it was when I was in high school, and we started doing comedy with a teacher who was just one of the best comedians I've ever met. One of the best comedical teachers I've ever met. He really knew how to teach kids comedy.
Yeah.
And I started to realize, like, oh, this is...
words like comedical.
Comedical. Yeah, just because it sounds like testicle. Testicle comedical. Comedical testicle. So he...
Totally
real. So, yeah. And just doing comedy, like, you know, with a bunch of people who are really funny, I think it was, like, that feeling of, like, connecting with people. And I always thought it was really cool, like... the whole school would come out. Like, the jocks would come out to see our shows. Oh, the, like, you know, the Valley Girls nice would come out to see our shows. Like, everybody would come out.
There seemed to be, like, a respect of just, like, you know, if someone was doing their thing, like, it was like, that's cool.
Well, it's like, everybody likes funny stuff. Yeah, everybody likes funny stuff, and everybody likes sad stuff. And if you can do something that really connects to people, then it usually ends up being, like, a really good thing.
Yeah,
that's true.
Interesting people that work in the arts and interesting, you know. This is rambling.
No. I understand what you're saying. When I came to Towson, you know, I just felt like a whole different world had opened up to me, you know. And I was just so amazed by all these people. They were like, oh my God, just incredibly talented, you know. And they were all so full of life. And that, to me, I think was a turning point in my life. I was like, man, you know, this is what I want to do. I think even till now, the way I'm trying to live my life, because obviously there's still hurdles that I have to go through, is, I think, it's something that I learned in Towson. Just be you. You know what I mean? And that's it.
So you didn't feel like you could be you before, or like you were being you before that?
Not the least bit. I mean, I was an athlete, man. I was playing soccer. Like, that was my thing. I was trying to go. I was trying to become a professional soccer player. And I came to Towson. I was like, you know, forget that. I think since then, it's just been this thing of trying to.
This journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're, you know, I think when you're doing the thing that is you, but ultimately, as long as you work hard at it, you end up being successful, you know. Absolutely. You find a way to do it. A lot of people are intimidated going into the arts because everybody says, oh, there's no money in the arts and stuff. But, like, you know, if you're really dedicated to it, then you make yourself good at it, you know. It doesn't matter, like, how talented you are, like, what skills you were born with. Yeah. Like, I've seen people that really wanted to be funny comedians. And they, like, I first started doing improv with some people that just weren't that funny when I worked in DC. And I don't know why they were on this professional improv team. But
funny man.
Yeah, and I was always like, man. And then after like a year of them getting up on stage every weekend in front of audiences, they started to get really funny. And it was like, holy shit, you know, anybody can do anything.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's the thing. I mean, it's like, if that's your passion, like, whether it's in the science field or if it's in the arts or if it's whatever, like, if that's the thing that drives you and makes you fulfilled, like, after a day of working on it, and like, you're in a situation where you're lucky enough or you're able to kind of put your effort into that,
like, turning it into a career.
But that's the thing, like, and you have to kind of be able to work like twice as hard to be able to get what you need to get out there, like, if it's kind of like a part of you that has to come out, like, it's like
vomiting a live animal onto a sheet of canvas.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You know, that thing you were talking about like people, those comedians, like, continuously doing it. Mm-hmm. I just, like, remember our audition technique class, like, how some of the students would begin, and you'd sort of have this question, well, are they really here because they want to do this thing? And then I think once the semester is near and you see how good they become, it's so great to see people, like, transform,
putting the work in and actually, like,
it's
growing.
Amazing. It's, I love that. Man. It's amazing. Years out of college, has that sort of confidence sort of receded, or do you feel like, because it has for me,
what confidence?
like the confidence to be, I think what I was in college was just like, I was at a certain point where I was just like, I'm there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As an actor, I'm speaking specifically as an actor, I was like there. Anything you threw at me, I could find a way to like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But uh-huh. now it's like, it's become so difficult in that I feel like I almost have to like look for specific things to do
mm-hmm.
because I'm not so comfortable like doing just about everything.
Yeah,
it's probably just because you're not getting forced into it. Like it used to be like you have to do this for class, you know. You could probably still do it.
Well, I mean, there was a time like after I got out where it's like I had a little chunk of time where I went without performing, and then mm-hmm. the first show back, I did have kind of some of these nerves or kind of even doubts or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but then you know,
do I remember how to do this?
Yeah,
do I remember how to act?
In the real world now, but it's like you know, you keep working and you kind of. Or for me at least, I feel like kind of back in that space where I could go.
Uh-huh.
But and you know, we were kind of naive in college, and we're still probably a bit naive, but you kind of have to be a little bit looking through rosy colored glasses a bit. But mm-hmm. What were you asking?
No, I was just asking, like, you know.
The confidence.
So,
I think there's a level of stubbornness as well that you have to have.
Yeah.
Of kind of. True. Because a lot of people are going to tell you no, or you can't. You know, you're not going to hear what you want to hear a lot of the time. You're going to hear no a lot more than you are yes.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a lot of people that are going to put doubt in your mind and mm-hmm. question what you're doing and say, you know, maybe you should be doing something else. And you have to have that kind of, whether you call it a trust in yourself, a belief, or stubbornness, or whatever it is, you have to kind of have this want, this hunger to not just, like, prove them wrong, but, you know, prove yourself right. You
right.
know, kind of like, you know, be the best self that you can be and believe that you're going to get yourself there. And that's hard to trust. And, like, especially when you're going through transitions and you're facing adversity, whether it's financial or family or just... You know, where you're living or not being able to produce stuff that's fulfilling to yourself. Like, that's why you have to just kind of keep working and keep trying to, like, surround yourself with people who make you feel like you're in that kind of realm that you want to be in.
Absolutely.
Now it's easier than ever to be able to just put your material out there with, you know, the internet and with that's all these kind of different formats. And technology becoming much more affordable. And there's no one way to make a film. There's no one way to do a show. Like, you can... If you're making it, like, you can make it however you want to make it, and it's going to be what it is.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't have to do it by handbook or by someone else's rules. You can do it however you want to do it, and it's going to have a unique look to it, and, like, that's what, like, that's how new trends start. That's how new movements start. That's how names get started, you know, by just making it and just, like, keeping yourself out there, keeping your work developing and, like, honing your craft.
What do you think it is that makes something like a hit for people, you know? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, you know, all of a sudden...
A hit for the creator or a hit for, like, the people who are enjoying
Just in general. Like, what makes something a really successful... Like, what is it, you know, about... You know, it's like somebody writes something and somehow they tap into what a whole... Wow, that was intense.
Right.
So it's like somebody writes something, and
that
all of a sudden,
is what makes it a hit?
Yeah, exactly.
Grabs your attention.
Yeah, people screaming. And,
well, I mean, that's like.
Well, it's
I
like
mean,
you know, all of a sudden,
question isn't what makes something a hit, and so it's a lot of different things. I mean, it's not one thing that makes something a hit, and you're not targeting one audience. There's a lot of different people that are receiving this, and who are gonna. Think a lot of different things are a hit, and so you, like, if you're chasing a hit, I mean, that's one way to do it, but, like, you can just do your shit, and if you make it in a way that feels, if you enjoy it, chances are someone else is going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's what I try to aim for, is, like, if I feel satisfied with it, then it's like, alright, chances are...
You know, that's it's funny you say that, because I've always felt that, even in school, I've always known that if I did something and it was, and I felt that I felt happy with it, you know, I'm not so much thinking, oh, somebody's gonna come up to me and be like, oh, that was great, you know what I mean? Because I've already gotten what I wanted out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody likes it, that's great.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not doing it so that I can get some praise or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
and conversely, like, if you do something and you don't feel like 100% about it and people are, like, praising you, you don't feel feel as good.
I remember the first time where, like, that really, really happened to me. I was doing it was a show called Hot L Baltimore. It was, like, a slice of life play.
Yeah.
And I came came off stage and I felt like, oh, that was my best show. Like, I did so well in that show. And the director comes up to me and she's like, I think you need to pull it back a little. And I was just like, I don't give a fuck, yeah. I agree with what you're saying, where, like, yeah. you know, so she didn't like it. So what? So you know, what? It is kind of about, it's about how it made. Yeah, it's kind of a selfish way to think about it. It's about how it made me feel. But doing good work.
Right. Well, it depends. Like, because there is a balance on that, because they have, as a director, they have an outside eye, which you don't necessarily have.
It's a little different when it's the director. Audience.
If you were certainly responding to something. So there was some sort of connection or some sort of thing was happening within that performance that, you know, could be carried forward. If it was giving you that kind of feeling out there, then there was some kind of truth that you were onto.
Yeah.
What's your favorite show that you've ever done?
I think it would have to be Voicheck.
Oh yeah.
Last My Theater in Baltimore did their first season, and one of the plays was, you know, an adaptation of Voicheck. And I think it's one of my favorites because I know that it wasn't the best, but I know that I was trying so hard to like get it. But there are a few other outside things that weren't able to allow for us to make that show what we all hoped it would be. But I know that I was really, really trying to like make this thing work. And so for that reason, I think it was one of the best things I've ever been in. You know what I mean? It was out of school as well.
Put so much of yourself.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, my brother, who'd never seen me act, came to see it. And that was the first time he knew that I had something to give, you know what I mean? So since then, he's...
That's great,
you know,
man.
He's been, like, a big supporter of mine.
Because I hate that when, like, you, like, have someone who's going to, like, come see your show for the first time, and you're just, like, not feeling so great about the show, and you're like, damn, I really wish you had seen, like, this other show.
Right.
But if he was still able to, like, see through that and see that there was...
Yeah, I think he was just, like, he was stunned. He'd never really seen me. I mean, they always, you know, I have two brothers, and they've always known that I was really passionate about the arts, but that was the first time that any one of them had come out to see something that I was in. And he was just like taken by it, so much so that he was just like, wow, I have to really support this dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great.
Dude, that's one of my favorite things about theater is, you know, everybody's just so, I guess it's just part of like being in the art environment. Everybody's just so loose and comfortable
that there's always some crazy stuff going on. We've been lucky to be around people like that as well, because I think that that's not universally true. Asses. I think there's uptight people, there's steamy people, there's people that are not so much fun to be around, but it's good to be able to surround yourself with some fun loving, easy going.
You meet those people though too, and a lot of times they get kind of weeded out. Sometimes people don't realize what's going on, except the
men. It takes a couple of experiences.
Yeah. Do you think that it's the same way in the professional theater? Because I don't think it's that way.
What do you mean?
Because you know,
like people hanging out and stuff.
Yeah, you know.
I think so. Yeah.
You think so? I don't think so, man.
I've talked to people who have been like working on like equity shows and stuff, and they'll go out. You know, the cast. You know, maybe not everyone together, but if people get along, they'll go out for drinks afterwards or whatever. And
I would hope so.
And I remember I was reading some autobiography by some actor, and he talked about how, like, you know, there was, like, the A-list and the B-list, but then, like, the fun list as well. And, like, if you were just kind of, like, one of those... And that's, like, the list you wanted to be on.
It's Bill Murray
good personality, Colin someone that Culkin. People enjoyed having around. And so I think there's definitely, like... kind of within the circles, like, you know, they'll recognize some people as like, that guy tends to get drunk and want to fight people, or like, no, this guy, he'll bring something nice and like contribute to the party and be fun, or I think that there definitely
interesting
is
interesting to think about, especially since you do hear about those celebrities getting drunk and fighting people, like Christian Bale. Tried to beat up his friend,
and there's so much like politicking, I bet, and it's like, oh, we got to invite this guy, so much fucking politics. I think
Matt Damon's gonna bring Affleck. We can't invite Damon.
I think that's been like one of the hardest reasons why I've just like that I haven't been so adamant about being part of a professional theater. It's like, look, man, theater is fun. You know, it's always been fun for me, you know, and I always wanted to translate to something else, you know, people hanging out, because that's what it's always been for me, family, you know what I mean? So if I can have fun, if I can come to a place and feel like these people that I'm working with are my family, then
supporting you,
and, you know what I mean, then yeah. I know that I want to be there.
Yeah,
to be honest, you know, life's too short.
Well, right. Yeah, man. Oh, if you're absolutely putting your time and energy and your heart and like your right. passion and like, you know, you're gonna be buying into and trusting them. Like,
I remember hitting this point where I really realized, like, you know, okay, I don't really want to, nice. I don't really want to like do the slog of auditioning all the time in a city like New York or LA, because mm-hmm. you are going to get thrust into a situation where, you know, you're probably going to encounter the rougher element of it that we're talking yeah. about. And whereas, you know, if you stay somewhere around here, you can uh-huh. still make really great art. Obviously don't have access to producers like around every corner like you sure. do in LA, and like yeah. you know, there's all kinds of people there, but it's kind of nice because there's still so much talent in an mm-hmm. area like this. And like, you know, for example, if you were to put together some little film about, you know, Annapolis or Baltimore or whatever mm-hmm. and put it out there, if it's a good kind of accurate representation
yeah.
people will pick up on that and be like, yeah, this fucking little team of guys did this thing. People
well,
love
it's a
that,
small
you know?
World, man. It's a short bus ride up to New York. It's a short plane ride
that's
over
very
to
true.
LA, man.
That's
it's
very
like
true. Yeah,
it's
if you ever
a,
need to get
it's
up
a very
there,
mobile, you know, and the internet is all over the place, so it's a whole new ball game. We've talked a lot about kind of your process and getting into it and kind of yeah. pressures and expectations, but uh-huh. like, so why do you do it?
I do it because I think ever since I can remember, it's been a thing that's given me the most pleasure, you know what I mean? I don't know why specifically, but I just know that it just gives me a great joy to just be part of these things and just, you know what I mean?
Now, are you talking about being on stage or the process of creating something?
I think as I've gotten older, it's become the process of just creating the thing and uh-huh. just bringing people together. And once those people can see it, you know, it just becomes a thing, you know. I think John Cassavetes always talks about, like, the process to getting to the thing becomes the thing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
like, the meetings with the people, the things that you share with those people becomes a part of the thing that you're making. And I think that, for me, it's become like, okay, if I can get these people together and they can see the vision and they can really put themselves there, then that is the thing. I don't even care about what the thing becomes.
Uh-huh.
I just know that it brings me and those people a little closer together. You know what I mean?
I remember we worked on a project. We produced a short film, and
yeah.
it kind of grew and developed as we mm-hmm. were working on it and throughout
yeah.
the process. But I remember there was one kind of moment specifically
uh-huh.
where we were shooting this kind of big party scene and had
yeah.
a bunch of great supporters out there who came out to
yeah.
make it happen. And we were doing this kind of this take where we were all singing, and,
yeah.
and we had this kind of build of energy, and
yeah.
and everyone to a person in that room could feel
right.
something happening in there, and we were going through it, and we were riding the swell
yeah.
of this kind of momentum of the song, and they're
uh-huh.
going through and filming it, and then you say cut, and everyone kind of looks around at each other and realizes, like, in that moment, like
right.
like we were creating, we were touching onto something, and
it was special.
Absolutely, absolutely,
yeah.
and people were charged, they were excited, they were
yeah.
energized to get that experience, to come out, you know, because
yeah.
who knows, you're going to be an extra in a film for a party
right.
scene, who knows what that experience is
right.
going to be like, but like the whole thing, oh man, yeah.
I mean, as we were doing that, I kept thinking, my, this is not what I had in mind, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought, okay, we're just going to sing a few songs, and then I think 2 minutes into it, I was like, you know, just keep it running, just keep it rolling. I think,
uh-huh.
like, we went for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
People were just, like, singing and chanting. I still have the raw footage of it, you
oh,
know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I'm probably going to have to release it, you know, just, like, the whole raw footage of it.
Hell yeah.
And it's just, like, those things, if you, as a creative person, can figure out a way to put your actors and your design and your sound people into that environment where you can just let people just run wild, I think it's just like it does something to you, you know, it just gives you almost like a new life.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what I'm always chasing,
mm-hmm.
those moments, you
uh-huh.
know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's great to see people like enjoy the moment, you know.
Yeah.
I think I get a lot of satisfaction from just seeing people enjoy, mm-hmm. because then if they're not enjoying, you're like, oh, did I, you know, is this good, did I set it up right,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And
if they,
go ahead.
No, and if they come into it and leave
mm-hmm.
having a good experience,
ah.
you know, they're going to be so much more excited and willing to work with you the next
time
around.
talk about all the time I see them. You know,
and it's like, a lot of them, you know, a lot of people, myself included, have gone away from shoots not feeling that way.
Right.
Have felt bad, have been like upset with a bad taste in my mouth. And it's like, I don't want to feel that way after I'm like, so it's like, when I get linked up with a project and with a group of people who are able to kind of foster that environment for these things to grow, like, absolutely, I want to continue to have that connection and that attachment. Yeah. So, all right, so, like, where do you want this all to go?
I think in a digital age, I just want to make these things. I mean, they're essentially, like, experimental, but they're also very, like, traditional things that, you know, I'm trying to do, you know what I mean?
This is, like, film mostly.
Yeah, you know, film mostly. I mean, if I do have a chance to do theater, absolutely, but I just want to have the access to just do these things, especially now that I've become so conscious of where I was from. And being able to just take a camera to there and just like switch things up and see how things play out. I think people will really see something, not necessarily, maybe not new, but just something different. I think people really enjoy it. And I do want the access to be able to just do those things and just say, look, this is something else that you may never have seen before, but I think you'll get great pleasure just from being able to just witness it. That's what I want to do, you know, and that's what I think about all the time.
That's great.
What is it you like about film? Like why do you like doing film rather than theater these days?
It's so free. And I think once you get the set pieces together, it just becomes a kind of journey to just, I don't know, man. It just becomes a kind of thing that just goes along with itself. And I think that's why I enjoy it. I don't find that there are those like blocks, you know what I mean?
And so you have a little more freedom with film.
Absolutely,
than you do with theater.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And
I actually never thought about it.
You know, you could just like make your own little thing, get your own little people together, and then just
can control exactly what the audience is seeing.
Exactly. And you can make something so beautiful.
And it's so easy to distribute it now, you know, on
YouTube.
Put it out.
And you talked about something as well, where how like something familiar, or what can be familiar to you is something that the outside audience may have never experienced or never seen.
Right.
So it's like, you know, there are these kind of things that we tend to overlook in our day-to-day life and think, oh, no, this is just mundane. This is everyone. But it's not. It's really unique to your own kind of life and situation. Yeah. And so there's no shame in filming a movie in your bedroom because, like, that's your bedroom. Like, that's no one else's bedroom. No one else's bedroom is going to look just like that. And
You know, I want to take a camera to my village. You know, it's just like the last time I was there, just the things that I saw, I can still see it whenever I go to sleep. It's like the mountains and the roads, and it's just like these things I just want to show because they're so beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so, like, much a part of you and what you see in your head.
And I just want the access to be able to do those things and just do it in a manner where I can just share it with everyone.
I'm starting to appreciate absurdist theater more these days because when we were talking earlier about like appreciating the moment and like how hard it is to do that, one thing that's really been helping me with that lately is kind of the nihilistic attitude to things where you sort of think like, one day the earth is going to burn up and be gone. Our sun's going to go out. One day we're all going to be ash. Even Alexander the Great will be forgotten. And so there's no reason to be upset about anything that's going to happen because like the end result is always the same. So you might as well just fucking enjoy the moment. And it's a kind of like dark way to look at it. But it's had a really liberating effect on my mind lately to just you know,
you
it's
have
okay.
Freedom because nothing matters in the end.
Well, or maybe that makes everything matter, though. Yeah. Maybe that's the thing, is maybe it's these moments that matter. Maybe it's not understanding everything or making some great. It's just these little pieces of, you know, it's when you look into somebody's eyes and you realize, like, I'm connecting with this person. When somebody makes you laugh and you're like, holy shit, I never laughed this, I haven't laughed this hard in years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
or a song grabs you and you start dancing hard as fuck alone in your room.
Exactly.
But the worst part, I think, is like when you find yourself around just like negative energy. To me, that's That's the one. And I go through that.
Hold on, you're gonna stop. So I'm gonna have to cut it.
Sorry, man.
No, well, don't battle me.
Go back to the beginning of what you're saying.
The worst thing about just like these feelings is just like negative energy. I feel that now more than ever. I can feel it. You know, when people just come around you and they just have this thing. It's like, just get away from me, man.
I don't need that stuff.
I don't need any of that stuff, man. You know? Like, I want to live. That's all I want to do. I want to live and I want to enjoy these moments. Mm-hmm. Then you meet people and they're just like, oh, you can just sense it. You know, and I go to work every day and I feel it. I want to just get out
me
of
too.
It, man.
When I worked in a bar, it really disturbed me how many people I encountered that seemed like they really did not enjoy their lives and they were really very unhappy. And I was like, what is it about life that makes so many people so angry and bitter, you know? Cough it out.
What is this? This is amazing. My ears are hot.
Oh yeah. And the ears.
What was that?
Oh my god. Edmund, before we get too off into the ether, Edmund, my friend, what are you working on? What do you got coming up?
I'm working on a web series. It's sort of like a mini series for the web called Big City.
Big City.
Hey, who are you doing that with?
I'm doing this through my company, the Redco Film Company.
All right, the Redco Film Company.
And I'm going to be producing this with Moses, my business partner. So, yeah, so we're going to be doing this through the company. And the idea is to just do like a 6, maybe 7 part mini series, which isn't gonna just go to like another season or anything, just that. And then use that as a jumping off point to do something else. So this is gonna be like really well produced. Our biggest struggle right now is just trying to get the little bits and pieces together. And at the moment I'm sort of having like problem sort of letting the story come out of me. So I think that's one of the hardest parts going through this process right now.
You get writer's block?
I think that's what's happening. But I do understand that there are things that are blocking me from completely coming out and just writing something. So I think once those things are sort of removed from my chest, I can just focus and just like let this thing come out.
Have you ever thought about quitting your job?
Many, many times.
I tell you, you can quit your job and get a credit card, man.
I've done it before.
Just live real frugally for a little while.
Where are you planning on shooting this?
New York.
New York,
Yeah. Nice. It's going to be, God, if people see this thing, it's
credit card
be...
won't last you long in New York. 3 weeks, max.
No, but that's not even... I'm not even worried about that. I'm not even worried about that. I'm just trying to get the pieces together. I think once those things begin to come together, you know, just something just sets you free and you can just focus and just figure out what the little things are that you need to get or take away.
Sometimes I feel like just, you know, moving your location in general can really spark something. And even if it's like leaving the place where you're writing, you know, if you're writing at home or whatever, like leaving that and going, you know, into town and sitting in a cafe, suddenly you see some old guy walking down the street and you're like, oh, that's the character I need, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing it's ever helped
really,
me with that.
Never really looked at it like that. Yeah, you can create a whole piece on just that, the idea that somebody's trying to get ideas. So he's just moving locations. Just moving locations.
You didn't ever do that with like monologues in college? I remember I was working on one and I wrote my longboard all around this apartment complex I was living in and did it in like a gazebo and over by the woods.
I'm trying to
find doing it in my fucking room and like working on like for an audition when you live with like other people in like a public
skateboard performing the monologue like in different locations.
Well, like sometimes, but sometimes I would just like ride it to the location, hop off, do it.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You are hopping. That's really fucking awesome.
I can imagine. I can see you doing that. Actually, I can see you like, I remember you used to ride your skateboard.
Yeah,
I can see you like doing
that. We had to park so far away and they had that hill there and so I would just cruise
down. Did you have a sick deck?
No, I had my short one was that's what I rode to class, and that was like real old. Yeah. But I would ride in the hallways too, and I mean, we would have to, like, we'd be after for rehearsal, and then all the tech people started bringing scooters in. But then I had like a long one too, and that's the one I rode around in the
longboard.
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
Sick.
Someone ran over it once, and it stayed strong because it was bamboo. But
wow, no way.
I hope it dented their car up because they totally could have avoided
they
it.
Rode
and
over
they
it.
Drove right into it and went flying so, way up in the air, and it fucking like smacked into their thing. I was like, good. Like, I hope it fucking broke your car, you asshole. Like, slow down.
You guys have both written things before, you know, screenplays, plays, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I assume you have active or overactive imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
I find one of the worst things about having an active or overactive imagination is you can't help but imagine like really painful shit happening to you sometimes, or really awful shit.
Oh, yeah,
and it might be like you're driving down the street in a suburban neighborhood and you see two blonde kids run by the car, and your mind just immediately pictures one of them dropping the basketball, going for it, and rolling under your tires. Ugh. You know, and it's just like, no,
just immediately like,
don't
want to
think
case
about
scenario.
It. Yeah. And then the other day I was chopping up vegetables, and I looked at this really sharp, big-ass knife that I have, and I thought, like, God, how much would that suck if I accidentally fell on this and it went in between my two front teeth? And it's just like, that's what sucks about having an active imagination. You know what I'm talking about?
Wow.
You ever do that? Imagine awful shit? And you can't stop yourself, you know?
It's not something
you want to do.
And then you start getting stressed out and like worrying that that's going to happen. You're like,
right.
The chances of that happening are very, very slim.
Maybe it's just like carrying scissors. You're like, you're carrying scissors and you're like, God, if I tripped at the wrong time.
No, because I told you I've been disrespecting knives. Like, and I would carry them around and just be like running upstairs. Like, with a knife. And I remember we all learned not to run with scissors and not to run with knives. But, like, I'm just like, nah, fuck it. I'm an adult. Like I couldn't trip as an adult. Like, I couldn't just, like, slip and, like, that thing just go right into me. It's still a knife. And, like,
totally
forget I'm holding it and, like, be carrying a cup of tea and, like, you know, scrape it against myself. And it's like, oh, that only hurt a little bit. Thankfully, it could have been inside of me currently.
Right.
Disrespecting, man.
Yep.
If things can kill you, don't disrespect them.
No, don't disrespect knives.
So what like, you guys have lived with people. Have you found it...
Shit. We're okay. Can I have a paper towel?
Just use this sock.
Also, where's the couch?
What was the question?
Have you had a funny experience auditioning... or like working on an audition piece at home and like having to deal with like roommates being nearby and being like, what the hell is this guy talking to himself for in this room and like making all these noises? I hear him like having a conversation but keeps having the same one. Like, is he talking to someone on the phone? Like, have you had like an experience?
No. I mean, I think like when I was in like a college, my house when I was living with my parents and shit.
Oh,
I'd just be like reciting my lines, and I'm sure they're in the other room like, what the fuck is he doing?
This is my child. What has he become? You can definitely relate to that then.
I'm sorry. It's just like,
and it's like if it's like, God forbid, it's like emotionally charged or like some romantic thing, and they're like, what?
What is he doing?
A porno in there? What is he doing?
A buddy of mine in college, dude, there was a senior when I was a freshman. He once had the campus police come up to his room because he was screaming like obscenities at the top of his lungs because it was the opening monologue from Burn Notice, which is just full of like profanity.
No, man, I remember campus police broke up what they thought was a fight between two people doing stage combat in the dining hall.
they
got involved there.
We had people who used to do that every year at like they would do midnight breakfast in the cafeteria.
The idea of it is just so funny.
What's that? Like,
the fact that cops come through because you're so alive in the moment.
Sir, you're God. Too in the moment. Right? Please put the emotions down and step away from the script.
Oh my God, this needs to be in my miniseries.
All right, so we've got Edmund Kofi. We want to thank him very much for coming to join us here on People Are Strange.
Yeah, thanks absolutely. A lot.
Make sure to keep your eyes out for him in his company. Is it Redco or The Redco Film?
The Redco Film Company.
The Redco Red Film Company. Yeah. Are you guys on Facebook? Are you
we
online?
Are. We okay. are on Facebook.
What's the name of the web series?
It's called Big City.
Big City. So yeah. That's coming up, a project that they're City. Working on now.
It's going to transform into something else. I can't say what it is, but well, Big City is the miniseries.
You got to stay tuned and find out. Follow this man and all his adventures if you're not already.
On Twitter, Redco Films. Website, redcofilm.com.
And you can check the descriptions for all the links.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you again very much for coming to join us here on absolutely. People Are Strange. We hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did indeed.
Well, good.
This
good.
Is really cool.
Well, good, man. Well, maybe we'll get you on somewhere down the line and catch back up with you.
Yeah, you all got right. it.
Time's up. Get out.
Thank you for joining us for People Are Strange. If you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Email us, andyandjk@gmail.com.
And most importantly, tell your friends.
I'm Andy.
And I'm JK.
Be sure to check back with us next week for another exciting new episode of
People Are Strange.